And he has given us three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what we do. Each and every one of us individually on every day, but on Sunday together corporately, we come together to hear the teaching that we may love God, love others, and go. Because in that, all of the scriptures are summed up. And through it, we will live a life unto the Lord our Savior and find the hope, the freedom, and the power to succeed in all that is. No matter where you are, God has already claimed the victory in your life. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we shall move into the Word of God. As I told you, we're going to be preaching through the book of Mark this summer. And due to the heat and lack of air conditioning, I'm making them a little shorter, so don't get used to it, because come fall, when it's nice, pastor's going to start preaching real whole messages, all right? So don't think you're getting, oh my, no. We're doing this out of courtesy, and we're doing this because you ought to stand up here. I'm 7 feet above you, folks. It's hot up here. So today, from the book of Mark, now I need to go back. If you remember, all of Scripture is connected, right? So before I can move forward into a living sanctuary, God in you will draw people to you. I need to remember to us what gets us here into that reality. So from the 27th verse of Mark, which is two verses from where we stopped last time, we read these words: "Thus saith the word of the Lord." They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Now, the reason I go back to grab that is, as I told you last week, when we look at the big picture here, what was going on? Well, that is the fact that God goes before us. God always goes before us. God prepares a way before us. And that is exactly what God was doing here with Jesus. These people were amazed, so they went out and they started talking to everybody else about what was going on, what was happening, what they were hearing, what they were seeing, what they were experiencing, because that's our testimony. Can I get an amen, church? Because we understand that we can know God through life, and in that, we have to acknowledge Him, and we do acknowledge Him. And that's what was happening, and the way was being prepared before them, leading into today's scripture. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand. And the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitted the demons to speak, because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, when I read this scripture, none of us are Jesus Christ. Is that true? None of us are Jesus Christ. So when I read this and we read the Gospels, we understand the Gospel teachers, the Gospel writers, are telling us who Jesus is. They are proving the point that Jesus is the Son of God. They are proving the point that Jesus is fully human and fully God. They are proving to us that Jesus is, okay, in every form and function. But the one thing we need to remember Jesus also is our model of how we are to live our lives and how God is going to interact with us. Now, the level to which Jesus was able to live it is a whole lot different than the level that we are able to live it. Why is that? Because we are not God. We have to remind ourselves of that every now and then. Ask your spouse. I got a couple of smirks looking at me, and some folks aren't married, and they're like, I don't have one. Yes, you do. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is God. But we also need to remember Jesus is teaching us what's going to happen to us as we are out and about. When we look at this big picture, what I am looking at is how does this gospel, how does this truth relate to us? And the reality is, this is the truth. God in you will draw people to you. It's that simple. How many of you as Christians find yourself in the workplace, find yourself, you know, just talking with family, and it seems like everybody wants to dump all their stuff on you? Did you ever notice that? Why is that? Why do people come to you with all their problems? Why do they espouse all this stuff to you? Well, the reason is very clear. God in you is drawing them to you. You see, we're like moths led to a flame. When we see that light of hope, we want to go to it. We want to go to it. I want you to think about our world. Is our world any different? No. All the glitz and glamour that the evil one can throw up there draws people to it, doesn't it? Why? Because it's bright, it's light, it's energy, it's, you know, okay, can we go around that tree? Yeah, many of us have been around that tree. And then a branch falls on us and knocks us clear, right? Because this life has a way of using that to the detriment, but Jesus uses it unto the good of bringing people into life. You and I need to understand, it's not you that's drawing them. It is the Spirit of God in you. Hence this first part of our sermon title, A Living Sanctuary. You are a living sanctuary. Why do we come into this place that we call the sanctuary? It's a gymnasium. Why do we come here? Because this is where we gather. And as soon as the church gathers, guess what that's called? Sanctuary. And it's not a place, it's the people. We become a sanctuary because this is where God lives, right here in us. And together, we become an even larger sanctuary, and in that, we find life. The people are going to come to you because of that, but I also need you to remember what I started with. Evil is going to come to you for the same thing, because it's still light, it's energy. The demons are going to come at you because they want to shut your light out. This world's going to come at you because they want to see what you have. And they're not going to like it, so they're going to attack you. Why? Because they don't want to come to life. They want to live in their death. We need to understand that we are going to be a sanctuary to God when we give ourselves in such a manner. When Jesus here is starting this, and I love this, because, you know, it doesn't make sense. When you look at some of this stuff, you know, okay, let's follow this story. So he goes to the house, and Simon and Andrew's mom, Simon's mother-in-law, is sick. Well, why did Jesus heal her? He knew she was getting a whole lot of company. I want you to think about that. Here's this poor woman. They're going to this house, okay? And you know, Simon and Andrew, it's their house, their brothers. They live together in this domicile. And they want to invite him to their house. Well, there's somebody there that's sick. Jesus knows what's coming. I can't have a sick lady in here. I need her to be well. So Jesus cleanses that place. How many of us need cleansed in our place? How many of us need cleansed in our place? And that's exactly what Jesus does. When he enters in, the first thing he does is clean the vessel from the inside out. And then he says, now you can pour in. Because if the vessel's clean on the outside, but it's dirty on the inside, what happens to anything you pour in the vessel? It becomes a filth too. So now all of a sudden, are you seeing what's going on here? Are you realizing that this is talking about you can only be a sanctuary when the inside's clean? How many of you are in Christ Jesus? How many of you are in Christ Jesus? The inside's clean. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's clean in God's sight, not clean in our sight. How many of us are still a mess? Amen. Every hand ought to be in the air. And if it ain't, you need to go look in the mirror and talk to yourself. And if not you, then let the Lord talk to you, because he's going to show you where you come up short. All right? I come up short, and I'm 6'1". But we also need to understand that as God is opening this up to us, it's only when we're clean inside. It's the light of Christ in us that draws people to us. We have to be a sanctuary in and among ourselves first. We have got to allow God to get this inside clean, because then he's going to be able to move to the things that are outside. Because now we're sure. How many of you, being now in Christ Jesus, know your future is sure? The scripture tells us, I tell you these things that you may what? Wonder? I don't think so. I tell you these things that you may know. Because God wants us to know our salvation is sure. And that is the light. When we know that we know that we know, that is when the light turns on and God is going to now draw people to you. But they ain't coming to you. And this is where pastors get big heads. Okay? I've got a little congregation. Actually, it's a medium-sized congregation, and I love you all. But how many of you think it would be wonderful to have a congregation of, 2,000? I've got different heads shaking, that's too many people, that's too many people. It is a lot of people, but there are congregations out there of 10,000 and 15,000. And I want you to think about a lot of those pastors and where they are and how hard it is for them to walk that road of righteousness because of all the temptation that comes their way. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to ask you, pray for your pastor on a daily basis, that God keep me humble and that my heart is submitted to him. And pray a prayer of protection over me, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to hurt the sheep. And how many of these pastors that have these mega churches fall to something? And how much guile is there within these churches? And we don't know the inner workings. Because the bigger an entity gets, the harder it is to stay focused. Can I get an amen? But when we ourselves realize it's not about me, and you need to realize that too, it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. When I grew up, I used to think I don't have any friends. I could count the number of friends I had on one hand. Has anybody else ever been there? The number of friends, you can count them on one hand. And you see these people, and boy, everybody's clamoring to be around them, and they just seem to be so charismatic. They draw all these people to them. Well, you know, it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I realized a lot of those people are completely empty inside. Because those folks that were coming to them to get something. They weren't coming for the good reasons. They weren't coming to serve, they were coming to be served. And I want us to understand, this world is going to come at us to be served, but you and I need to make sure that they understand who the one is that they're literally coming to. Because they're not coming to Rich Dove. You're not coming to Rich Dove. I'm not that important. Number one, I ain't that good looking. Number two, I ain't that wealthy. And number three, I ain't that good a speaker. But I know who is. And I will point to him every day of my life, because he has saved my life from the pit of hell. He has rescued me from the fire, and he has delivered me unto the heavenly places. Can I get an amen? From the church, because you too are there. And that's why people are going to come to you, because they see something they don't understand. Why are you so happy? Why is everything seem to be going right for you? But yet we as Christians, we see our lives as a mess, don't we? Nothing's going right for me. You know, I got all these physical problems. I got all these ailments. I got all this stuff going on. But yet when we're out there in the world, how many of us have a smile on our face? How many of us are saying life is good? And we wait to see God at the next step. That's what keeps us going. That's the light that draws people to you. That's what drew people to Jesus. They saw what was happening through him, and they started to come to him. They began to realize there's something more here. And they thought it was him, but he was going to lead them to someone else. And who was he going to lead them to? God the Father. God the Father. And that's what we need to do. Well, what does that look like? How does that transpire in our lives? Read the next couple of verses here. I love this. This is amazing because this is something that we all do. He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went out into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and chastising out the demons, casting out the demons. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. How many of us, when things start to get clamorsome, because this is the end of what we read, we'd like to get away? I got to get away from this. Jesus himself needed to get away from this. And he said, "Nope, we're going to go somewhere else. Going to do something else." Nope, two different things. What did Jesus say? "Let's go somewhere else so I can do the same thing." How many of us try to make that escape, that great escape, realizing God's not chasing you away? God just simply has another direction for you to continue doing the same thing you're doing, and that is being a son or daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he wants people to come to you. You have the answers. You know him. You're walking with him. Jesus did not leave there to start something new. Jesus went to grow what he had even greater. And that's what we need to be about. We need to be about making the kingdom greater, about spreading this news elsewhere, into the world, unto the minions, that the many who would believe. Now let me ask you a question. Did this leper believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. What did he say to him? "If you are willing." In other words, "I've heard it said that you can do this, so if you're willing, do it to me." Well, it says Jesus had compassion on him. Why did Jesus have compassion on him? Number one, he had a need. He was a leper, which means he was an outcast into all the world. He had no hope. So Jesus says, "Okay, I want to show you hope." And he told him, "Now, don't tell anybody about what just happened. Just go and offer your stuff." Did the man have faith when he left? Yes. How do we know? Because he went away proclaiming what Jesus just did. We may come without faith, but by glory, when you meet God in the mix, you are not going to leave without faith. Can I get an amen, people? I got goosebumps a mile high right now. I think I'm in air conditioning. Whew. I'm telling you right now, when you and I understand the principles that Jesus is teaching us here, you're going to find yourself in uncomfortable places, and people are going to come at you with personal reasons rather than spiritual reasons. We still need to be spiritual people. We need to show that compassion. We need to understand, you want this, but I'm going to give you this. If you remember the story of Peter and John when they were out, the guy asked them, "Do you have any alms for me?" Right? He's walking by, and John and Peter looked down at him, and they said, "Money we have not, but what we have we freely give to you. Rise up and walk." And what happened? The guy was looking for money, but he found healing. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand that's exactly what God wants us to bring into the world. He wants us to bring that healing, and it's the healing of the soul. It is the healing of the body in some instances. And if it ever happens to you, you're going to stand back and say, "Oh my God, you better, because it weren't you." I'm telling you, God's getting ready to pour out His Spirit. What does it tell us in Joel? It tells us that the day is going to come when He shall pour out His Spirit on both His men servants and His maid servants. And they will speak in tongues, and they will prophesy, and miracles are going to happen. We know we're coming into those last days when the Church of Jesus Christ is to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And we need to be about that work, that people are going to come to us. Number one, they're going to come to us to try to defeat us because they want us to shut up. That's the world agenda, okay? That's the world agenda. But then there are those who see us and genuinely want help. They want to know what they can do to find this peace that we have, the joy that we have, the healing that we have. In the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our sickness, in the midst of all of our stuff, I'm going to pick on somebody here. Rudy Rue, how much fun is it to sit in that chair all day? It's not fun at all. But when you were working, how many of those ladies that had both legs would come to you with all their problems? I wonder why. Because it wasn't what's on the outside, it was who's on the inside. Can I get an amen, church? And it's the same way with each and every one of us. It is the same exact way with each and every one of us. People aren't attracted to us because we're beautiful. People are attracted to us because He who is in us is glorious. Can I get an amen? Because when we make it about us, we have just fallen off the wagon. But when we make it about Christ, the glory increases exponentially. And thousands are saved every year as the church understands this principle, that He is here to be drawing people through you to Him. So therefore, I ask this day, that you make yourself a sanctuary. Be cleansed inside. Let the center be whole. Let the healing of Christ flow through you unto the many. Because God will draw people to you because of Christ in you. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the wonder of your word. And Lord God, as we examine these truths and just the simplicity of it shows us how much you love us and want to use us every day of our lives. Lord, we're all looking for the burning bush, not realizing that our hearts are ablaze with the fire of Jesus Christ under the glory of your name. We are the burning bush. And others are seeing it. Lord, may we speak the words of truth that they would hear your voice and know your hope, find your freedom and healing. And may we too grow in that grace every day. In the name of Christ Jesus, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.